Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Obs podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. Well, today we are going to talk about, in my opinion, one of the most important early game aspects of Dota, which is ganking. And I know, or like in earlier episodes, that we've kind of, especially in the last one, we mentioned it briefly, we've talked about it, just we've touched on it here and there. So it's something that's been thrown around a lot and a term that you hear a lot all the time, whether you already know it or not. You know, it's a term that is very common in Dota. So for this one, I wanted to dive into it a lot more. So for this episode, we will go over two things when performing a gank. One is how to perform and stop a gank. And second is when to perform a gank, just to help give us a better idea just how to go about them. And for today's episode, I am actually joined today with Nimble Tomato.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate you joining. So before we begin the episode, why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself and your history with Dota 2?
Yeah. So I started playing Dota around the 7.0 patch, which I think is kind of interesting for most people. I think, you know, you and Lo last time, I talked about you both started forever ago. And most people I talk to in the Dota realm kind of have their war stories of playing it back in the day. I'm more of a new school person. I didn't start till the 7.0. I watched TI5 because I had friends who were into it, and I thought it was amazing. I watched Faceless Void do Chronospheres, and I was like, this is an awesome game. I don't understand it at all, but it was super fun to watch, and it was super entertaining, so I wanted to learn it. And then I wanted to quit a whole bunch of times throughout that, but here I am. I have played now 2K hours, and I'd say I probably watched many, many more hours than that in esports scene. I actually very much enjoy watching Dota, probably more than I enjoy playing it.
Watching Dota is honestly a blast. You learn so much, but at the same, it's just, I don't know, it's just entertaining, even though, because I remember we watched that tournament together, actually, and we saw Chronosphere, and I kind of knew what it was, because like people know, I played on Warcraft, but then I stopped for a while, then I played a little bit again when earlier on, but then I stopped, and I really started to play again with you, actually. And the nice part is playing with was we both kind of learned together and kind of really, you know, it was just nice to have somebody else to like share the grief with, because, you know, the learning curve of Dota just sucks. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so, so big.
Yeah. Oh, we lost so much losing, and it's not fun, but I do enjoy, I've always said I'm a big basketball fan. I watch a lot of the NBA, and I, you know, you are too. We love, you know, watching sports, and I've always enjoyed something was different about Dota in that it was very fun to be able to watch these esports players, you know, watch Miracle play, and then be able to turn around and use what they're doing in my own games. I can't watch LeBron James, like him do a dunk. And although there's a point in my life when I could dunk, I can't anymore. And I can't go onto the court and all of a sudden try and do the dunk like he did. But when Miracle does something in a certain way, I can go and I can replicate that a lot easier. And that was like a different experience to me. It's very fun.
See, and what's funny, because with you saying that, because literally we just did this last night, me and Nimble, we probably play together. I've played the most games with Nimble out of all of my Dota friends. We have like over 1,000 games together now, I want to say something like that, like a ton. But I remember literally just last night we saw, like, we're like, oh, Beastmaster mid with Ags is amazing right now. And you started that last night. Yeah. And sure enough, it is so stupidly good. Like Beastmaster mid, it was just done today, right? At one of the pro games today. Like,
it's happening all the time. He's first pick material right now. He's just too good. He's already gotten nerfed once, but I don't think it was quite enough. I don't even play, like, I've played Beastmaster before, but he's a totally different hero now. Now he's gone from, you know, macroing all these heroes or microing all of them to being a spellcaster. He's now basically just another spellcaster blow up people.
Oh yeah, totally. Especially now that Necro is out, like, you know, people thought it was gonna be a nerf to him, but now that's what's awesome about Dota. You know, the game changes all the time, so you definitely gotta keep up with it. And one awesome thing about having Nimble on my team is because he primarily plays mid, he has gotten really, really good over the last like 2 years, I would say, of performing ganks. And as you guys know, I play hard carry primarily, and I enjoy, you know, and that's kind of the position, you know, everybody falls into their natural positions. That's what I kind of fell into. I have fun playing hard carry. Obviously, it's very stressful too, but overall, I like it. And one thing that's awesome about playing hard carry is when he does rotation bottom and performs a successful gank. And ganking is hard, you know, it's never a guarantee, but when it does work, it makes life for not only me, but for everybody just so much easier. You know, a successful gank, it gives you tons of space and just overall a great early game advantage. And as I'm saying, you know, it's essential in the early game just to gain the upper hand. You know, we've all had the experience of playing against an Ember Spirit or a Queen of Pain who just started snowballing out of control and got to the point where right when they show up, you're dead, you know? And it's playing against a hero like that, just, it sucks. You know, we've all had those games. It doesn't happen every game, thankfully, but I mean, I know you've been on the receiving end of that, and it must suck when you're mid and the opposing hero is like starting to like snowball out of control. I don't know. I don't play mid nearly as much, so I haven't experienced that nearly as much as you have, but It's hard. It's, you know, ganking is hard. You know, I think it's pretty essential. I don't know. I'm sitting here saying it's essential every game, and I think you should perform it. What do you think? Do you think it is? Do you think the same way, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it most definitely is an essential part of any MOBA, but especially Dota, in that, you know, you'll have, like last week, you and Lo talked about team fights, right? And I would say team fights and ganking are hand in hand, and also I think there's some, you know, you also might not even need team fights if you can gank appropriately, because it just become pickoffs, right? And so, and that's sometimes you'll build whole your whole draft might be around not having team fights and just being really good at doing initiation and having a gank that goes well where they never have a team fight, right? That might be what you build around, where if you're drafting a tiny, right? And that's what we're actually seeing a lot right now, is tiny mid or even tiny four is pretty popular. And why tiny is so popular is he sets a pace where he gets a blink at an early enough time, and then he's just wandering around their jungle, and he just has so much damage that he just wants to pick off them so they can never have a full team fight, right? And you just get enough, you get ahead enough, and it changes the whole game.
See, like tempo heroes like that, like I'm just not good at tempo heroes. I've done it a few times successfully, but I feel like tempo heroes, you have to have so much game knowledge with them. You have to have really good map awareness. You have to have like really good awareness on timings of like your power spike and their power spike, and you know, okay, like, you know, Chronosphere is down, or this ult is down, or this hero just died, like let's capitalize on this, you know. Like I think you have to have like a lot of awareness in the game when you're playing those heroes. They're fun. I'm just thinking about it. Do you think it's easier to have a draft where it's a more team fight oriented draft, or a draft that you were kind of saying where it's more like skirmishing and picking off and like a ganking, like single target draft?
I think when it comes to like ease of execution, I think most times when you see like pro scenes, I think team fight is going to be easier, right? Because when it comes to team fight, a warlock, all they need to do, warlock's one of the best team fighters, right? Because he just drops, you know, golem. Mm-hmm. And that's it, just does great, right? And that's not a hard spell. The hardest part of that spell is just getting it off, right? Especially if you can get it, and it becomes a little more technical. Obviously, there's a lot of things you can do to improve that, like getting his other spells out. But like when you're newer to the game, that's probably easier. You know, Mars ult, boom, you're done. You know, like, and you can even obviously gank with that too. I think the problem, like where it becomes harder with, like you were just saying, right? Tiny is a lot harder because you have to understand, one, can I blow them up? That's the biggest part is, am I strongest? Am I far enough ahead that if I jump on that person right now, can I blow them up? Because if I don't blow them up, I've now wasted all of my mana, all my resources, and I'm in probably a very poor position. I'm probably in their jungle. I'm probably, you know, unless they're out of the way, like unless they're in a really poor position, but most times it's gonna be you in a poor position trying to get some type of advantage, and now you have been caught with your pants down, you know.
Yeah, and I honestly totally agree. I think team fighting is a lot easier because usually like you said, warlocks, ults, or even like Tidehunter, you just jump in, press R, and it, you know, I think there's like a expression. It's like press R to win the game because some ults are just so good, you know, like Phoenix Egg, yeah. Boom, and it does so much like for you. It's not, I mean, and like you said, there's ways to make those ults better, and it's not, you know, it is straightforward, but at the same time, like, there is a time to use Golem, you know, or to use these ults that makes it better and more impactful than other spells. So it, you know, at every game, as we know, every game changes, you know, it's not always that simple, that straightforward, but that's what makes Dota just so incredibly fun. So
it is.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
And I'd say, like, I think when you're first getting into the game, it's the most infuriating part, too. I think any of us who started later, where there's people who already knew what they were doing, I know every one of us had the experience that we are just minding our own business, and a storm spirit comes out of nowhere, and you can't do anything. You just die, right? Yeah. You just die. That's all that happens. And you go, this game's stupid. I never want to play this game again because I didn't even have a chance. And it's just that knowledge of where your positioning is, all that stuff. That's what you need to understand.
I'll never forget. It was just this random time. We'd been playing for a while at this point, but you're a disruptor, and we were playing against a Kunkka. And this Kunkka, he went mid. And again, this is a classic example where he was just snowballing, super strong. They were pushing us into our base, and you were walking up, and Kunkka did his Tidebringer, and he one-shot you from like super far away. And you're like, I just died. And I was like, what? I looked back, and you were dead. And you're like, yeah, I'm dead. I can't even walk close to the fight without dying. And I'm just like, that sucks, actually. Like, that right there, prime example of like, this game is stupid. I can't even get close without dying, and he didn't even hit me. Like, you know, you have to have the game knowledge, but like, yeah, if you just look at that from like, especially as you're getting into the game, you're just like, yeah, I can't, I walk up, I die, what do I do, you know, because I have to get close, but I can't even impact the game now. It just,
yeah,
you know, the game it's is great. Very It definitely is. Let's get into like into these ways to perform ganks. And as always, you know, as we talk about our experiences and you know, these kind of like general principles and rules of thumb, these are not hard rules or exact ways to gank. These are more just kind of general ideas and ways to help you think of just general ideas to get into your mind before going into a gank, to kind of help get you a better idea and help gauge and feel out the game. Dota is so complex that situations will vary in every single game, and it will, you know, it'll even change the way how you go about ganking. So just keep that in mind as we talk about this. So let's get into this. So let's talk about the first thing, when to perform a gank. And as I was thinking about it, I think this is everyone's first question when thinking about moving to perform a gank, you know, because, and I usually think of it as mid, you know, especially in like lower MMRs, it's usually mid who performs. Everybody wants to stay in their lanes, which is, you know, understandable. I stay in my lane like almost all the time. But I think with this, you know, when to perform a gank is the first question you should ask yourself. And to better help recognize when, I think the best time is one of two situations. First, you have a level or power advantage, which basically you just have more experience than the opposing hero you're going to rotate on, or your spells are a lot stronger, or you have your ult that you can use to help, you know, quickly kill somebody. Like, for example, right when you hit level 6 with Quap, then you can use her ult and kill somebody fast. And then two, you have great vision and can see an enemy who is isolated or out of position. And so, like I said, level advantage was straightforward. And then, you know, vision is, it's just so important in Dota. If you can see them and if you have that information, it makes it so much easier to act on. You're like, okay, I can see at least three heroes on the map. If I go on this hero, I know that by the time they TP in, I have a very good window of opportunity to kill them before they TP in, or they're far enough away where even if they do TP, it still gives me enough time to kill them or get away if it fails. So those are like two of the situations I thought of. But what do you think, Nimble? What has been your experience?
Yeah, I definitely think you're right on those, that, you know, those are probably the easiest places to first start. Obviously, Dota's really deep, and so you could go into a whole bunch of, you know, different meta decisions of why you might perform a gank. I would say that, to me, I think the easiest thing, you know, as far as who performs the gank, I obviously do a lot because I'm mid, but I would say I think timing is important because yesterday, I was watching in Division 2 of NA of the DPC Picado play, and they're position 4, which position 4 is normally known as the roamer, right? And so their roamer was a Tusk, and I think he was 8-0 by like 12 minutes, WDR, or something like that. He was ridiculously farmed because he looked like he owned the whole map. he just knew exactly when to start moving around. And so it's because he knew his hero really well. And I would recommend people, you know, his first 15 minutes was a clinic on how to run Tusk at that point. It was really fun to watch. And you can see a lot of Earth Spirit too, position four, being able to do a lot of ganks too.
Yeah, and I know Lo, who joined us last week. He plays with us. Like, we kind of have, like, our group, and it's usually me, Nimble, Lo, and then, like, three or four other people who kind of, like, rotate in and out. But Lo's been playing a lot of Earth Spirit, too. And I said this before in last episode, but whenever I watch pros, my favorite position to watch is actually position four, because they are the ones, they're always moving on the map. They are always so proactive. In my opinion, I actually think position four is the hardest to play, because, like, I look at that position as the one who you really try to expose the enemy team's weakness, or try to focus the high priority targets. Because, yeah, like, the generally how I look at them is, like, you know, mid or position three are initiators. Mid is kind of a semi-carry, so they can kind of be a little more malleable into, like, if they're going to be more of a carry role or more of, like, a utility role. Hard carry, you jump on the supports. But with the four, they really try to go on the most high priority hero and try to maybe not even kill them, maybe just try to control them, you know. Or, like you were saying with Tusk, watching a pro Tusk, like Jerix, I think, or does he play Tusk? I think he does, right? Is he?
Yeah, and he plays a lot of, he's known for his Earth Spirit. The other one I was going to say is Yapsor also. Yapsor, yes. Plays, I think he's very well known for his Rubick, right? And it's funny because, like, when you think of a ganker, you probably think of Storm Spirit zipping in, Quap blinking in, whoever's going to come in, you know, boom, they do that. But, like, you know, Yapsor just comes in hidden, but he has vision, and he just telekinesis into a good position. He's just setting things up where, like, that's where he's just really good about timing and about being game aware of where people are and when he can do that type of thing.
Yeah. And even when you see Tusk, and it's also, you know, because when watching pros, like, obviously I know that I'm not good enough to replicate everything they do. But what's cool, as we've already alluded to, is you can definitely still try the things they've done. And for example, going back to Tusk, is how dynamic his snowball ability is. Like, it's so cool watching the pros do that, because they, most of the time, I see them use it actually as a save. When somebody gets gone on, you'll see a Tusk blink in, he'll start to snowball, and then he'll grab his ally, and then the other team will, like, use their spells or try to do something, and they totally miss. And then at other times they'll snowball away to get, like, slightly, like, more space, and it just gives them, it's that little bit of extra space, like the game of inches they're playing, that helps make, like, the biggest difference, you know, at that level that they're playing. But I think it's cool and good to watch, like, this pros and get, like, the knowledge of them, because it gives you better ideas on, like, you know, when to perform a game. Because, like you've said, like, timing, I think a lot of it that we're talking about is timing here with heroes. Like, maybe once you get, like, you know, all three of your spells or your Earthshaker, and you're like, okay, I have, like, all three of my abilities up and active, so I could do a Fissure from long range, then I can walk up and then do my second ability and keep stunning them and controlling them to help, like, set up for easier gank and just, like, easier, you know, like, to try to establish, like, a more dominant position early on in the game.
Yeah. Well, and even what makes Dota to me so fun is, like, obviously the depth, but, like, trees, for example. Trees are so simple, but, like, I watch, and they have, like, certain patterns that they'll run of, like, tier one mid on the Radiant side. There's certain places you can be below that tower where it won't see you, but you can have a better place to be for a gank. And, like, those are the things that me, who I don't get to play as much as Yapsor gets to play, but he can get into those positions, and I see that, and I go, I didn't even realize that's a possibility, right? And he can just chill there and then be ready to a gank, you know, because he has that vision. It's pretty great.
Oh, yeah. It's so informative, especially watching them. It gives you a lot more information and things to go off of. So these are just some basic ones to go off of. Like we said, obviously, a depth aside is to just a simple basic power advantage, knowing the timing of your hero, and just the information you have with having the vision and being able to see an isolated enemy. Okay, moving on. Let's go to the next part, to the second point we're going to cover, how to perform and or stop a gank. So for this one, I kind of want to get your thoughts first on this, Nimble, because you have, obviously, you know, as we talk about position four or the roamer, as you see in, like, especially upper MMRs, they're the ones that usually will perform these a lot more often. But usually lower MMRs, or the common position, is mid, and usually play mid. So I want to know, how do you go about performing ganks and executing them?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think the first thing you have to understand is your team composure, right? You have to understand which heroes you have, because it could be your mid, right? If your mid is a Storm Spirit or a Quap or a Tiny, then they're going to be the ones that are going to be dictating the ganks, right? And if that's your mid, what you want to do is you want to get a pick off. And usually that will come from lanes that might be having issues. That's usually going to be my first thing, is if I'm doing pretty good mid, or if I'm doing bad mid, maybe I'm losing my lane, the thing to salvage it for me will be to go and get a kill somewhere else. But let's say I'm doing well, but I know that my hard carry on top, let's say I'm Dire, is having an issue. One thing to relieve pressure, if they're getting, you know, maybe they're against a Tide or something like that is just in his face or something like that, the best way to relieve that pressure is to go up and gank, because now it might make them a little bit more weary to go so far close to the tower, because now they know at any point somebody could come and they could get killed again. And so what I'll do is, you, one, have to know what your hero's spike is at, right? So I know as Storm Spirit, once I get level 6, I now have my zip. And hopefully, obviously things have changed with recent patches, but hopefully at that point, you know, I'll definitely have a bottle, but hopefully I can, you know, at that point get the rune. Maybe it's like a region rune. And if it's a region rune, invis rune, any type of those, you know, runes that I'm able to get, except for maybe the illusion rune, that doesn't really help me at all. But if I get one of those runes, what I'm usually going to do is at that point move to that lane and hopefully get the pick off that I can help that core to just be able to farm, you know, especially if it's like an AM or something like that needs that space. It's really important. Mm-hmm. But oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I'm just thinking as you're talking about this, how do you determine which lane to go to as mid? Is it pretty easy? It's straightforward, or is it actually like, is there a lot that goes into it when you determine which lane you're gonna rotate to?
I think it's really communication. It's funny how much in Dota, how much easier the game of Dota is when you have a team of 5 in Discord, right? Or even just in TeamSpeak or whatever. It becomes so much easier because you can just communicate. And that's one of the hardest things of doing pubs is when people don't communicate. And so most of the time, and you know this, I'm mid and I go, I just got this rune, where am I going? Mm-hmm. Right? Because I'm not low. I'm not as perceptive of the whole map. I try and be. And usually sometimes we'll talk about it before, but you might have a poor lane, but you might be winning it, and I don't need to help you as much, right? And so it's more effective if you're like, hey, I need help bottom. I think we can get a kill. We have stuns, which is an important part, right? How much can we lock down these people, and how squishy are they too? I said Tide earlier. Tide's going to be a little bit tougher to obviously kill, but if he's pushing safe lane super far, you know, on the safe lane, the area between the safe lane tower on Dire to their off lane tower, if I can cut them off in the middle, that's a long distance for them to go. Right. And so I have a greater area to make effect, especially if you have stuns to slow them down and stuff like that. The closer they are to your tower, if somebody TPs in, because that's probably what's going to happen, is if they're getting ganked, they're going to get a TP. That's going to be an even farther distance for that whoever's coming into TP to get up to that person up at your tower.
Yeah. So positioning basically like. Yeah, so positioning is a huge part then for you to help. Like, that's one thing you take into account, is the positioning of the enemy off lane or the enemy safe lane they're going to gank then. Like, that's one thing. Is that like one of the first things you look at then after you talk to the team, like when you're determining it?
Yeah, because I would say depending on if you're going to your safe lane, it's to relieve pressure. If you're going to the off lane, it's to put pressure on them. Right. If you know you're going against somebody who could just take off like a Medusa or something like that, or a Drow, and you're like, we have to stop this person, then I think most of the time you're going down there to impede them. Right. You're doing the opposite. And so that's why I say I think your team composure and understanding the other team's team composure is so important. And that's why is when you're new to the game, it's so hard to figure out what to do. And it's just get kills at that point. Like, that's why you're just kind of running around like a chicken with with your head cut off, because yep, you're like, totally. I don't know who's better late, right? I remember us talking about that and then being like, they're gonna win late game, and that, to me, it didn't mean anything, right?
Yeah,
so it was an important thing to learn.
No, I think it's because you pointed that out, because I like how you point out, if I'm going to my team's safe lane, it's to relieve pressure. If I'm going to my team's off lane, it's to apply pressure, because when I'm playing carry, the thing, getting ganked sucks. It actually, no matter how like, clean they perform the gank, like no matter how good their gank was, I'm always actually just so mad because when I die as a carry, that's, and I'm, granted, you're only dead for like 10 seconds at the beginning, or it could be 30 seconds. I can't remember like the average time, but that is every second I'm dead, that is actually farm that I'm losing. And it actually sucks because I have to TP back in. I do get like full health and mana, and sometimes it can be fine, but for the most part, it actually, the more you gank and apply pressure to the enemy safe lane, it just makes it harder. And even if you don't, I don't know, because I'm just sitting here thinking a successful gank may not always result in a kill. Maybe you just put them all the way down to like low health and they have no regen. Because then sometimes that could be as successful as getting a kill, because now the carry is just too scared to come out. Because for me, the number one thing I'm just trying to focus on at the beginning as a hard carry, aside from getting farm, is just straight up not dying. Because hard carries, we're talking about heroes mid who have like good, who are a lot better early on being aggressive. Like we keep mentioning Storm Spirit or Quat, because they have a lot more aggressive spells, they're a lot more mobile. Hard carries don't have that. They're actually very frail, and there's a reason they go to the safe lane and have a support with them the whole time to babysit them, because they really do suck at the beginning. But that's why, but that's how the game is balanced, because they're really good later on in the game once they get farm and all this experience, and hopefully they get to a point where they just become this monster that, could just hopefully just, roll over and help secure like the victory for your team,
And that's the point. Like a gank really is having somebody in an area from the opposing, wherever they're at, something, an external source coming and applying an un like a pressure that wasn't there before. So whether that's, let's say an AM is in their jungle, and you're a tiny roaming around and you find that tiny and you blink on the or you blink on that AM and you kill them, that's a successful gank, because now what you've done is they thought they were safe there. That was their think. I am safe here. But once you gank them and you now kill them, he now knows that AM in that part of their jungle, he's not safe anymore. Right? And so now they have to put a vision, they have to start doing all these things that you've made them do, and it now will create, it will relieve pressure in other places and will give you this advantage on the map, which is so important to have.
Yeah, you're basically, in a way, you're expanding your own team's borders of like, map security in one way or another, whether you, even if you don't have vision there, but now the enemy team thinks you do have vision, so now they'll, like apply a lot more resources and effort to that area, or they might just even leave that alone. Like, look, like they've been around there a lot. Let's just, allocate everything and just secure our triangle. It's less farm and less, but our carry will for sure be good there. And even then, even if you don't kill them, applying the pressure alone can even it, to me, can still qualify as, having a successful gank. Maybe not, as like the best outcome, but it's still a great outcome like to have with ganks.
And I think aside from like mid heroes, most of like for newer people, anybody with a blink is usually the easy person to think of, like offlaners, for example, that might be good at ganking too. For example, like I think most people have suffered from a Slardar or a Batrider or even a Nyx who goes invisible, that you're just minding your business doing something and then they gank you and you're all of a sudden dead, or you're getting pulled back by a lasso and you're like, I thought I was safe here and I'm getting lassoed and I'm getting pulled into the enemy jungle and I'm dead, And so there's other ways, there's a different bunch of different ways to if, carry out these ganks, and it sucks being the person on the other side of it and being like, sweet.
Being on the receiving end, it always sucks no matter what. So yeah, and when a gank is executed correctly, you stand no chance and you're killed quickly. And good ways to know when a gank is coming is, again, to me, when I was thinking about it, is one of two things, or when you know a gank is coming and to help evade it, you do one of these two or both of them. You either retreat to a safer area, which is usually to a tower or under vision that you know they could just see everything that's going on around you, or two, you call for backup. You say like, because usually Nimble's really good about calling like, hey, mid is missing, or I'm rotating, or I haven't seen mid for a bit. So then I know, I'm like, okay, I at least have that in the back of my mind. Now I'm going to play a little bit safer, a little bit more reserved and cautious, just so I know right when I see him, I'm already at least, preemptively ready and more vigilant when the, when the whomever is, coming at me shows up. And I think, so I think it's good to know that. And even then, and when you do, retreat, sometimes you have to play very patient if no one can support you. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I've learned this the hard way, because it's so in Dota, it is so hard to be patient in Dota. And that's the thing that even to this day, I fail at this all the time. You know, you see a hero who has low health, seemingly out of position, or you think you're safe. You're like, okay, I want to get back on the map. Like, let's get back into playing this game. Because if you sit there, you know, as we all quickly learn, you're losing time, which is experience and farm. Like, and if you don't get that, your hero's gonna suck, you know, and you're growing weaker by the second, you know? So I think it's important to always, especially at the beginning, be a little bit more cautious than not. That's what I would suggest, because it's better to lose a few last hits than to lose like 200 gold, like in, you know, like just like that, because the hero shows up and kills you right then. I don't know. That's what I've had to learn as a, especially in a carry position, not quite being so much the aggressor. It's just stay back a little bit longer than you may think sometimes. And this is mainly if no one can support you. If you have nobody else around you, then definitely stay back. But if you have a support, then you can start to venture out and communicate with your team, or always be looking at the mini map too. That's probably one of the first things I think is most important to learn, is just develop the habit to always check there, always check to see the status of the heroes, and just try to see where everybody is, try to get as much info. Because as Nimble has told us, you know, when he's assessing which lanes to go to, he's already said that he looks at, one of the first things he looks at is positioning. So if you're far up, like if me as a hard carry, if I'm close to the enemies, to the offlane's tower, because I'm having a great time getting all this free CS, and he's going to see that and then rotate to my lane. You know, odds are he is at least, because that's a compromising position. And I don't know, I would think that probably the most ideal place you look at to gank first is probably the opposing team's carry. Would you say that's right, Nimble? Is that one of the, it like, I don't know, I imagine that's more valuable than getting the off lane. Obviously, it depends, but I feel like the hard carry is the most valuable one to gank at the very beginning of the game.
Yeah, I would say so. If I'm a Storm Spirit and I know they have a Drow, if I can definitely kill her early, that'd be fantastic. It's gonna slow her down. It's gonna give me an advantage. It's gonna help my off lane. I just have to make sure, unless they're pushing up really far, most of the time you're gonna be ganking. You once again come down with a risk. They're probably gonna be under their tower, and so if you have somebody like a Centaur that's off lane that can take the hits from the tower and stuff like that, and you know you have enough mana, you can manage all that. Yeah, I think it's usually a very beneficial to be able to kill there. It's a safer play for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And as always, like we've alluded to, it is important to understand your hero and the enemy hero in these situations. Again, a centaur, that's a hard hero to kill, so it's probably good, you're probably more dissuaded from killing them, because you know those heroes are made to take hits. That's literally their role and how they're built. So I think one thing that's important to realize with this is some heroes have good anti-gank abilities built in. A few of these heroes is Venomancer with his Plague Wards, Clockwork with Rocket Flare, Zeus with several of his abilities. I mainly think of him with his ult, you know, because you know it kind of sucks when you're like safely farming and your whole team is moving. Also, you get Zeus ulted and boom, you're exposed. You're like, okay, well they know we're all together even though we're smoked, and this gank is pretty much like, I mean, we could go through with it, but it's probably not going to work out the way we want to. So it's really important to understand your hero, but then the enemy heroes as well when you're trying to take in this information. We've talked a lot about successful ganks and how to pull them off, but I want to kind of flip the view and look at it from how to recover from an unsuccessful one, because you know, because as we're saying, ganks are hard to pull off. So Nimble, when a gank fails, what do you do? What's the first thing you do when a gank fails?
When a gank fails, usually I would say it's rather one, like I'd mentioned before, I'm the tiny and I try and jump on them and I'm unsuccessful in killing them. And then it's you rather try and fight it out, which hopefully you understand trading at that point and you figure out, is it better for me to get out right now or am I gonna be able to get help? Which usually it's gonna be maybe I leave at this point or I'm gonna die. But I feel like the counter to a gank is a bait, right? Where I might see this lonely little Drow bottom, right? And I might be like, oh, that is a juicy Drow, right? And if I don't understand the map well enough, and I don't look at the map and I just see a juicy Drow, we might all go bottom and say, let's kill this Drow. And I might jump on the Drow and maybe I haven't checked and the Drow's gotten a BKB, right? And so I jump and I go to do my you know, I unload all my spells, and she busts her beat KB, and now all my magic damage doesn't do anything. And this is where, like we had talked about, knowing your heroes, knowing your opponent's heroes, but also knowing your opponent's items, right? And your items, and these different power spikes, because maybe this was a bait this whole time, and they knew this was going to happen. Maybe they had better vision than us. We had vision on them. We could see them. But maybe they had vision on us, and we decided to smoke. And we're like, we're going to do this awesome smoke gank, right? And we go to do this, but they watch us smoke, right? And so they set out this, maybe they don't do their drow, but they do a centaur or something like that. And so we can't find anything, so we jump on the centaur. And we unload everything on them, don't kill them, and then they turn around and they kill us. And then at that point, it becomes, let's say I've now just lost that gank, right? The centaur's mm-hmm. taken everything. Now I'm on the losing side. It becomes getaway, right? And I think at a lower MMR, this was one of the hardest things to learn, was when to lose a fight. Because I think a very common thing in lower MMRs is I see one person die and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that Huskar. He's so close to dead. And so I run at the Huskar and I can't kill the Huskar. He kills me. And then the next person goes and we just run in one at a time and we all die, right? When we could have just backed up and cut our losses and been fine with losing that fight, which you're going to lose fights. And knowing when to lose a fight is a very important skill in Dota, I believe.
I totally agree. I think because kind of what we're alluding to, it's the characteristic of developing discipline with it, because you know, it's hard when you see a hero with low health, but like you're kind of low health, but like, I don't know, it's easy to overestimate yourself again, but you know, we're all guilty of this, but me most of all. I'm like, I can easily go kill that clockwork who is just super low health right there in front of me. You know, he's low, I'm the carry, it'll just take a few hits, and you overextend and then you die. And now you've just fed them even more. And now before you know it, they're counter pushing you. And now they're pushing into you. They've taken a tower. They've taken a Rax, all because of like one little mistake you made. Well, I mean, it's not little, but you think it's not a big deal. And now before you know it, like, you know, the game is totally swayed differently. So I think it's good. I think it's hard, but it's really good to develop the awareness to, like you said, recognize when you've lost a fight, because yeah, it's Dota. You're going to lose a lot of fights and not, and in my opinion, honestly, I actually think, I don't know, again, I don't have as much experience with you as you, Nimble, with ganking. I would honestly say I feel like every other gank is successful. I don't know if that's being too generous, though. In my opinion, I thought it was. Obviously, you know, I know it comes down to the player's skill level, but I think on average, it's about every other gank would be successful. Would you say, if you had to just say off the top of your head, has that been your experience, or is it even like less or more than that? I don't know, what's been your experience?
I think a good measure of how well your team is doing is the success of your ganks. I think most people would consider a snowball, every single gank is going well, right? Like if you're a tiny and you're going into bottom lane and then top lane, and each time you're getting kills, you are now snowballing, right? Because now you are stopping with successful ganks, you can stop the whole team, right? The whole opposing team. And I think if you're at half, which I would say is more often than not, that means it's you're successful. I think if you're at least half, you know, most of the time it's, you know, I think that would probably be the average, because if you're doing ganks and they're not working, then that's probably a good sign that you're not doing things right.
Right. So if overall, I feel like a really good way overall to measure, though, how well successful ganks are going from what we've talked about is applying pressure. Cause I feel like that's the number one thing that you are doing when you're moving throughout the map is applying pressure. So even if you don't kill the hero, but they run back to base, that's essentially a kill. If they're so low on health and they don't have any regen, so they have to run all the way back, that can sometimes actually be better arguably than killing them, but that's a rare situation. But I feel like, you know what I mean? I feel like it's applying pressure is really what ganking is about, if I had to like be concise with it.
Yeah, if you have to sum it up there, yeah, I think being able to apply pressure, and I think two really good examples of really, so I was going to mention one thing with losing ganks. OG is the best at losing ganks, and even losing team fights in general. And I think when you're backing up, I think knowing to lose when you're losing the fight is really important, but knowing when to re-engage is also very important. And one person who's amazing at this, for those who haven't watched these, which I hope you have, is both of OG's TI winning the grand finals. Seb is amazing. Against PSG LGD, when he uses Magnus, to they're losing those fights, and he knows when to re-engage. And then against Team Liquid, he has Axe, and he re-engages with them, and you see him do some awesome ganks, and you hear the whole Seb, and he does some awesome things there. I would definitely recommend for those who need to learn when to re-engage and when to do an awesome gank and stuff like that. Like, Seb is a great example of those type of things, and he knows how to apply pressure. That's why he's top tier.
Oh, 100%. That play that he did with Axe was, it's so, and even the video they did too, even if you just want to have some entertainment, like some cool, awesome Dota content, just look that up. And they even did like a short animation video of it, of him like blinking in his Axe, and he calls like their whole team, and then they just kill all of them. He dies, but it's like, it's so obvious. It was such a good trade, and it's just really cool looking too. It's so freaking cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So, yeah, so from what we talked about, I think this is all, you know, summarizing it, ganking is basically applying pressure is what you are doing. So even if you don't kill them, that doesn't always mean that gank is a failure, but obviously a kill is what you're going for and what you're shooting for. And, you know, because if you succeed, you gain momentum, space, and overall you just strengthen your team more. If you fail the gank, you lose time, experience, and farm. You know, ganking is hard, you know, and as we said, we've just talked about a few situations in this ever-changing landscape of Dota, you know. So, like, yes, you'll have games where every gank works, you're tiny, you go bottom, you get a kill, you go top, get a kill, or you're on the receiving end, you know, and then you're the one getting snowballed on, you know, and it sucks, but, you know, and that's what happens. But those snowballing situations are far and few in between. So that is all we have today for our episode, though. I really thank you so much for joining today, Nimble. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it has been great, and I've loved what you've done so far, and so glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, thanks. We'll definitely have you on for later episodes just to help bring us fresh new perspectives. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Your support means a lot, and it just helps a ton with keeping the podcast going. And as always, don't forget to support the podcast. You can go to Anchor or become a Patreon as well. As always, if you want to, you can visit the website to get more detailed information and info. I always write up these in like article format and post them on there, so you can get a little bit more visual info rather than just, you know, listen to me talking the whole time. And if you have any questions, you can contact us through there. Thanks again. Good luck and have fun in your games.